Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 7 of the SweatNet Strong Women podcast, where we share stories of amazing women living in our communities. I'm your host, Seal, and today we have Britt C. She is a dance teacher, choreographer, cycle instructor, athlete, performance specialist, and to top it off, she is one of our very own Charlotte Hornets honeybees. Welcome to the show, Britt.
What's up, Seal?
Oh, I'm so glad you're on here. We're going to have some fun today.
I'm excited. Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Like, it's a thrill because for those of you who don't know, I've known Britt C. for a while. And
6 years?
I think at least
yeah.
6 years. And yeah, I know. Because we were just talking about how, like, time just freaking flies. Because I feel like it was just yesterday that I met you.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's get started. First question I have for you, which this was something that I was really intrigued because for those of you, a lot of you probably already know Britt C. in the fitness, as a fitness professional in the industry, but that's not exactly what you went to school for. So how did you go from being a chemical engineer to a fitness professional?
So honestly, the reason why I studied chemical engineering is because when I was in high school training at a gym, a guy who may have asked me something about what I was doing after high school asked me what I was studying. And I said, I didn't know yet. And he said, well, do you like science? You like math? Why don't you be a chemical engineer? You're a black female and you could make a lot of money. So I said, okay, I'm going to study chemical engineering. And so I did. Definitely not the most fun major to have in college. It was a challenge, that's for sure. But it did keep me busy. And so I graduated and I went into technical sales. Didn't quite work out there. And then I shifted from there to digital marketing sales. I like digital marketing. I just think I could have worked for a different company and had a different outcome. So I quit my corporate job and said, what am I passionate about? Dance and fitness is my passion. So I went back into teaching dance, which I've been teaching since I was about 12 or 13 years old, helping my teachers up until teaching my own classes. And then I taught through college. So I went back to teaching dance. And then I heard about a girl that I tried out for a dance team with. The company that she worked for was opening a studio in Charlotte. And I said, well, here we go. And so I jumped on board and started working with this company. I actually went back to school thanks to one of my old coaches and got my master's in exercise science with a focus on injury prevention, performance enhancement and rehabilitation, because I always knew that I wanted to train athletes. I wanted to train athletes for the combine and performance improvement kind of things. So I went back to school, and then while I was in school, I started working with my dancers and all these performance things that I was learning through my master's. And fast forward to today, and I'm very thankful to say that I work on pro athletes. I work with dancers, professional, and my kid dancers. And I do a lot of corrective exercise science, which for me personally, doing what you love to do is fulfilling whenever you know that it's serving someone else and making them better. So that's kind of my little overview transition from chemical engineering to fitness. And I love it.
I have to say it's like jam-packed. Like, because I mean, you're not only stretching like yourself, you know, physically in your body, learning new things, but then it's like mentally you're stretching and it's just in every area of your life. And I like just knowing you, like, that's awesome. And I'm so, I admire that you pushed yourself to that level, and the level that you're at now is incredible. So
it was a struggle. I must say, like, I definitely had my days where, you know, finishing master's work at 11:59 buzzer beating to get in by 12 happened for about a year and a half during the program, and I was like, oh my gosh. And you know, I saw the light at the end of the tunnel finally. But yeah, it was so worth it, so worth every minute of it, and I'm very thankful to be where I am today.
Well, it's truly inspiring. It's inspiring for me, and I know it's inspiring for other people, and just to keep, you know, keep going, keep pushing yourself. Yeah, new levels.
Absolutely. Hey, levels to this.
That's right. Okay, so now we're gonna kind of shift gears a little bit. I know that your mom, that you lost your mom to breast cancer when you were 8. Mm-hmm. And I know that you were primarily raised by your dad and brothers. Yeah. How has this shaped you into the woman that you are now?
So losing my mom was definitely a tough thing to happen when I was a kid. And to be honest, though, there's about a year and a half of my life that I have mentally blocked out and I can't remember very much from it. But one thing I have to say is that my dad's strength as a widowed parent with three young children, because I was 8, my little brother was 5, my older brother was 11 at the time, it is why I am on the mental level that I am today. Like watching my dad go through so many hardships, you know, losing your wife, running a business, taking care of kids, trying to make sure everything and every person is where they're supposed to be at the right times. Like my dad's strength is what has honestly inspired me from day one. And so I always have, it's kind of been a joke, but it's really real life. I want to be the kind of parent whenever that time comes in my life so that if anything were to happen to my spouse, I can carry on as my dad did for my family, because without him being able to do that, then there's no telling where my brothers and I would be today. So that kind of strength is just, you can't create that in someone. Like it's there, it's in someone to like build. And so my dad has built that upon in me. And then you brought this up to me and I didn't really think about this. But I always say everything happens for a reason. You are where you're supposed to be. And yes, it really sucks losing your mom at 8 years old. But what I didn't realize is as a 28-year-old entering the field with professional athletes and basically a ton of men, I know how to handle myself in a room full of men because that's what I grew up in. I hung out with my brother and his friends. People would come to my house. Like it was like no big deal. Like, you know, I was like, they're bros, you know what I mean? So that, I think being raised in the situation that I was is why where I am today, I'm able to stand with 2 feet on the ground and solid and stay strong in all the circumstances that I wind up in. So whether it's bringing on new clients or networking in situations, or sometimes you have those points where you're just like, man, like, am I cut out for this? And then you're like, no, check yourself. You got it. Like you're good. You know? And so my dad instilled that into me. And then I've got 2 brothers who literally are like my biggest cheerleaders. And if I ever have one of those days where I'm second guessing myself, I mean, you're talking about from when I competed in a pageant when I was 15 years old. My brother and my dad were in the back of the auditorium and they're the only people I heard just screaming out. And it's like that kind of support that has been there for me my whole life is again why I am where I am today and confident, to be quite frank, at where I am.
Well, I thought this was so important to bring up about you growing up with your dad and brothers for that very reason, because you are a very strong person. Anybody that knows you, like the way you stand, the way you carry yourself, the way you speak, and that has everything to do with being raised by them and being in a household of men, and it's not easy. Like, first of all, you've just thrown yourself into like, you know, performance athlete, you know, arena, right? That's like intimidating as it is. And then you're a female and you're going to walk up in there and tell these boys what to do. Like, you know, it takes such a level of strength. And so that's what's so cool is I feel like that you were made to do that. Like, I feel like you're made to do that. So how, and since we're talking about this, how has that been for you since you've kind of, cause you talked about going to I guess, conventions or, you know, starting to see some of these athletes and there's like that moment of intimidation.
Yeah.
So, you know, how are you handling that?
It's kind of crazy. So I got my first like opportunity to go to the combine this year, which again, I've been dying to train athletes for the combine for years of my life. Like, so at least for the past 10 years, I've wanted to do that. And so I went this year and it was pretty funny because as the girl on the scene, these guys have been training these boys for a while. I come in and basically give my 2 cents on the injury prevention side and performance improvement side. And they're like, whoa, she does know what she's talking about. I'm like, yes. And it's kind of funny because like, I always love to be strong. Like I love having muscles. So they like looked at my muscles and like, oh, she kind of might know what she's talking about. And I was like, yeah, I kind of do. And so then I did my work and watched, they got to see like what I was doing, make its changes, which was awesome. So yeah, definitely going into it, I had butterflies in my tummy and I probably annoyed the crap out of my older brother leading up to this trip, because I was like, Bryant, what? Help me, Bryant. I'm thinking this, Bryant. Like, I literally was just like blowing his phone up with just questions and honestly some insecurities that I had that were just like eating me up inside. But like, once I got there, I was like, focus on doing what you're good at. Focus on staying in your lane. Focus on why you're here. Focus on what you know. And I did that, and it was like, whew, this is a breeze. And then I even got feedback from one of the guys I worked on. He was like, that's the fastest I've ever ran, thanks to you. And I was like, oh, my poor heart. Like, it really like hit me kind of deep. And then, you know, during the draft, he was like making my heart pattern. I was like, oh my God. Like, here we go. I was like, you know, it was literally so stressful mentally for me, but like, it definitely, like, how I was raised, like, prepared me for these things. And even now, like, when I bring on new clients, it's like that initial, like, oh, she's a female, I'm gonna see what's up. And then when I get done, I'm like, so what'd you think? He's like, oh, you really know what you're doing. You really know what you're talking about. And then I had a client today who was like, I haven't felt this great in so long. And I'm like, I kind of do know what I'm talking about. So I'm building my footing in the industry. And it's pretty dope when you hear, you know, high level athletes knowing about you. So like, you know, have people who are like, yeah, I heard that she was at the combine. I'm like, how did she know that? You know, so it's pretty dope. And so I'm kind of getting that little like gas underneath my pedal now. So I'm like ready to go, you know?
Oh, that's awesome. I'm so proud of you. That's so awesome. So because of that, since we're talking about, you know, performance athletes, and we're talking about athletes, let's go ahead and talk about you being a honeybee for the Charlotte Hornets, because that's a whole nother side of you. So you have like this tough side, you know, and then we're going to switch gears and you're going to be glammed out on the court, like rocking it out with the team. Kind of talk to me a little bit about that experience. What is it like? And I didn't really ask you this ahead of time, but what is it like being a honeybee? Like, how important is that to you? Like, you know, I knew it was a dream of yours to be part of the team.
Yeah. So I just got chills thinking about it because I miss my team so much. Unfortunately, our season was the way it was. But being a honeybee is one of the most fulfilling things that I have the opportunity to do. I love to dance. I love to perform. But most importantly, being a part of an organization is so much bigger than you. Fan interaction, game day interaction, those kind of things. It's, you know, we're dancers, but we're also ambassadors for an organization. And on game day, seeing kids' smiling faces after you take a picture, just like interacting with people, like, it definitely warms my heart. And then the icing on the cake is the fact that I get to dance on the court. And that is just phenomenal. I have the absolute best coach ever. And she like entertains some of my silly visions, which is, I love it about her.
Yeah. She's so amazing.
I couldn't ask for a better gig to be for something to be like that. You know, like, it definitely is the opportunity of a lifetime, and I will soak up every second of it that I get.
I love it. Well, I did want to kind of jump into this because I think there's a lot of people that probably have questions about professional cheerleading, professional dancers. When people find out that you're a honeybee, do you feel like that hurts you or helps you? Like, you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I'm going to give you two sides. So side number one, I think when I'm looking for choreography jobs, dance jobs, me being a honeybee, that's amazing. Like, studios, teachers, they love that. It's honestly a selling mechanism for me as a dance teacher and choreographer. On the other hand of my life, at the Cycle Studio, I kind of keep it so low key that people don't really know until they come to a game. And then like, oh, shoot, that's you. And I'm like, yeah, that's me with a full face of makeup on that I will never have on at 6 a.m. in the morning at Cycle Bar. Sorry. But so like, that's pretty funny. But then when it comes to the performance side, I wouldn't say it quite plays against me as a performance trainer, because again, it's not necessarily like plastered on my face when I'm doing that. But it is entertaining when guys find out that I dance for the team, or like agents find out that I dance for the team, and then they want to have these conversations with me about things I don't know about. Like, okay. And then there's another side, which is my dating life. I can't tell you, Sil, how many times people have been like, oh, you're a honeybee, that's intimidating. I'm like, what? And so, yeah, that's where it hurts me is in my dating life. And at this point, I'm kind of like, all right, well, I'm just going to let whoever's got enough confidence to date an NBA dancer date me, because I don't, you know, I like to think I'm a nice person. I have a brain. Like, it's contrary to belief when people do underestimate what dancers and cheerleaders have in their heads. I'm like, yes, like, I can have a full-blown intellectual conversation with you, and I would actually prefer to have that kind of conversation with you. So, yeah, that's the entertainment of what it's like to be a honeybee outside of dance world.
Well, yeah, it's so funny because I've heard girls say that, the intimidation factor, and they always look puzzled. They're like, I don't understand. Like,
oh, it's what? There.
What's the big deal?
It's because most guys aren't going to just outright tell you. I've managed to figure out why and ask the questions that make someone say, well, you're kind of intimidating. And I'm like, what? Oh my God, nice. Small but mighty, but nice.
Right. Well, and that leads into, and you kind of touched on it a little bit, but what are some misconceptions about professional cheerleaders and dancers that you feel like is something that people automatically think, or what have you experienced?
People automatically think that every professional cheerleader or dancer is the most girliest of girls, until they see me in a t-shirt, dress, and J's, and they're like, oh. They think that professional dancers, that's all they do. And I'm like, every single one of my teammates is either in school or has a full-time or part-time career. Also, they think we all just love cardio. Strength training is my go-to. That's what I do, spend most of my time doing. And they, you know, I wouldn't say they think we're weak, but it's like, you know, I've got a teammate who can tumble for days, but people won't look at her and be like, oh, she's so strong. I'm like, no, she's strong. Like, we are all strong. Like, so there, that's the underestimation of just, again, I like to say we pack a mean punch. And if you do underestimate pro dancers, pro cheerleaders, then you need to check in with yourself and figure out. You need to talk to a real one and find out for your own self. We're nice, I promise.
Absolutely. Like, I have to say, you know, the women that I've had the opportunity to meet over the years and through training and being a part of the team and the aspect of that, you know, y'all are strong, you're mentally strong, you're physically strong, professional women all the way around, and genuine, and really have a heart for community too. And that's why I love being a part of it. That's why, you know, I love each of you. Like, just amazing, amazing group of women. So I wanted to make you. Well, I wanted to make sure that we, you know, got to talk about that a little bit, because it's fun that we're, you know, connected that way.
I'm here for it.
All right. So we're going to leave this and we're going to go straight into what fires you up before a workout. What is it? Is it a piece of clothing? Is it a song? Do you have a quote? Tell me what it is.
Meek Mill fires me up before a workout. And when he was in town for All Stars, I nearly lost it, because I was like, that's my guy. Like, he is my guy. And no matter what mental state of mind I'm in, whether I'm stressed out, sleepy, mentally exhausted, whatever, turn on Dreams and Nightmares by Meek Mill and I'm ready to go. I am ready to go. So that is my hype man, the hype
that
man.
That is your hype man.
And if you come to my class at Cycle Bar, 9 times out of 10, there's at least one song with Meek Mill in my playlist. Never fails.
Love that. That's awesome. Okay, so we're going to kind of bring it down a little bit on a more of a serious level, because I felt like this was something that not only is important to you, but it's important conversation going on right now in our community, in our world. And this is what you have, a platform that to talk about racial injustice. And I wanted to, you know, ask you about giving some key advice on how to support those that are going through it. And just wanted you to kind of, if you could give us 3 thoughts that you could leave with listeners, that could help with that.
Yeah. So I say this pretty frequently, step number one in a revolutionary time that we're in, like right now, is to listen, and not just listen to, you know, the news. Don't just listen to a movie that was written about, you know, listen to the people who you're close to, listen to your coworkers, listen to your friends. And if you don't have friends who have had experiences in the Black community or Black and Brown community, then maybe that it's time for you to do some expansion on your circle. And maybe it's to be able to ask those questions. So I think listening is important because sharing experiences with someone who's close to you almost relates you more to it than learning from someone off of just a movie or a podcast even, you know? So being able to listen and open up your heart, I think is definitely step one. Step two is, again, adding culture into your life, creating circles that are more inclusive. I come from a very, very small town. And to be quite frank, it's Black people and it's white people. And there never really is that mesh. And it's, you know, I'm 28 years old. And still to this day, when I go home, there's white people, there's Black people. And very rarely, like if you're not a doctor or an attorney in my hometown, chances are you're not in with the white people. And so for it to be so segregated like that in 2020, a lot of people are like, oh, well, it's not going to affect me. It's not my problem. I'm just, it's, you know, no one around me is affected by it. And I'm like, that is where the problem starts. So thing two is choose not to ignore what's happening, because in a day like today, ignoring the revolution and not being self-aware of how you are an impact on this too is only hurting people like me. And I say this, you know, very outspokenly too, you know, if you care about me, you are reminded that my brothers are both darker skinned males. My dad is a darker skinned male. So when people talk about losing their brothers, their fathers, their uncles, they're talking about losing people just like my brothers and my dad. And so for people who care about me to say that it's not their problem or that it'll fix itself in due time, or we don't need their voice, it's like, well, long term, you're hurting me as well, because my dad fears for my brother. My brother and I are very, like, we like to get outside and go running, especially when we go home. And my dad, I talked to him a couple of weeks ago, and he was like, it does work. I do worry when you and Bryant go out running. And for me, I think he worries me. Like, I'm a light-skinned female, and I will admit that I have what is called Black privilege. You know, there's white privilege. I have what is called Black privilege. As a light-skinned female, people look at me differently than they look at my two brothers and my dad. So when I go running, my dad thinks of me as a female. And he's like, oh, that's my girl. She's out by herself. That scares me. He always tells me to take, you know, something with me, keep it in your hands. Like my dad always, he's always told me to stay ready. Like I remember him telling me this when I was 14 years old, stay ready. And with my brother, my older brother goes out running and he says he fears for him because who's, you know, say it's cold in November, my brother lives in Columbia, and he's out with like a face mask on or hood and gloves. You know, what if he intimidates the wrong person and they pull up on him, you know? So my dad fears that. And then I've got my little brother. My little brother is, I call him the biggest teddy bear you'll ever meet. Like he's huge. And the biggest heart in the world. And he works with funeral homes. So he gets phone calls in the middle of the night because someone passes away. And part of his job is to go consult with families and put remove bodies and take them back to the morgue. So he's out at 12 o'clock at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, doing what he basically, you know, doing his work. And the number of times that my little brother has been pulled over simply for being out at that time, I wish I could count on one hand. I wish I could count on two hands. And I had him here to like tell you his stories, because they just go on and on and on and on. But again, he's a big Black male and people see him as intimidating. So when people choose to ignore what's happening right now, you're choosing to ignore that those hashtags could be my family members. They could be my brothers. They could be my dad. So again, number two, choose not to ignore. And then three, educate, educate, educate. I'm a Black female and I have done so much more educating, because growing up, I learned nothing about Black history. I learned, we watched the same Martin Luther King movie, which is where I also learned about Rosa Parks, every year of my elementary school life. And so Black history and actually what happened over the course of time, like, I was never taught this where I grew up because of, we studied South Carolina history. So, and South Carolina has its own rep, so we'll go ahead and, like, put that out there. So what I've done because of all of this is, if I'm going to speak on something, I want to educate myself. I'm not much of a book reader, so I'm not going to tell you to read books, but if you read books or find books to read, there's plenty of books out there that are about, you know, how to handle white privilege or how to deal with, you know, your coworkers or what it means to be Black in society. There's so many different books that can outline what life is like from a different perspective and, like, help you understand. Like, we get that you won't ever be able to feel what we feel, but being able to open your lens and see a different side of what goes on in society is a major key. Watching movies, I watched 13th, and wow, did I learn so much. It's on Netflix, and about just, like, how slavery ended and the 13th Amendment became the 13th Amendment, which, if you watch the movie, you'll see what it does versus what we're taught that it does, if that makes sense. And then when I say listen, again, I don't mean listen to the news. I don't mean listen to or read the articles on Facebook, because my goodness, they'll make you hate the world if you get too caught up in them. But again, finding things that are educational, like primary source documents. I'm such a research nerd that whenever I look to find information on something, I want to go to the source. I don't look for an article that was written way back when. I look for a document that was taken for filed purposes of, like, what happened and how I can affect, or how things have been changed since then. So education, I think, is number three. So opening your heart, expanding your circle, and then educating yourself is probably the three best things that any person, Black or white, no matter what race you are, could do while we're in a revolutionary time. And reminder that, like, teamwork makes the dream work. It's so cliche, but, like, I can't just talk to my Black friends about Black problems and how I want to change the culture of the United States, because we can't do it by ourselves. So we've got to open our arms. Everybody's got to open their arms and be open to the change before it can actually happen. NASCAR is a great example. Like, I have a very soft spot for NASCAR right now. And, you know, and Team Bubba Watson, Team Bubba Wallace, and the way that NASCAR has rallied, not just for him, but for the community, it says volumes about the organization. So again, like, teamwork makes the dream work. And that, there's a clip from the race on, what was it, Monday, that really, like, shows exactly what we mean when it says when we say stand together. It's a team effort. So yeah.
All I can say is, wow. Like, this is, this was the one thing that I wanted to ask you and open up the conversation, because your heart was so evident in your Instagram post and your story, and knowing you and the person that you are and the way that you are going about it and the way you're talking about it and the way that you're educating all of us, including myself, I'm just super appreciative, and thank you for, you know, taking time and being open. And
really,
you know, you're right. It's teamwork all the way around. It's community. It's standing together. It's being united. And I just really appreciate the conversation today. It's like, this is, yeah, this is what this podcast is all about. And it's about women that are strong and women that are standing strong in who they are. And you're such an example of that. And so I really appreciate your time today, Britt, a lot.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you.
So for anyone that wants to contact you, come take your class.
Yeah.
Talk to you about performance training. Where do they find you?
Brittany MSC on Instagram.
Right on. And they can just message you there as well.
Just shoot me a message. Yep. My email and everything is on that profile.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again so much. And thank you for joining us and tuning into the SweatNet Strong Women podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, y'all, you need to like it. You need to share it. You can find more information about SweatNet on sweatnet.com. You can go to our Instagram at SweatNetCLT. You guys, you can follow me personally on It Seals Smart. Also, I will be hosting the Be Amazing Weekend here in Charlotte, October 16th and 17th. This is an all-women's weekend. This is about grabbing your girlfriends, coming out, celebrating women. To learn more about the event, how you can participate, you can go to beamazingweekend.com. And then you can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Be Amazing Weekend. But stay tuned next week for our next episode of SweatNet Strong Women Podcast.